One verse for you, just as a thematic sort of thing. Paul's second letter to his young spiritual son, Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:5, this struck me in this idea of Mother's Day. Paul said, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am also now persuaded lives in you also." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this special Mother's Day, a time to honor the women who have meant so much and even more than we could imagine. And so, Lord, we just pray your blessing upon them today. We pray great joy in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that, as we always pray, that you would give us spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us about this idea this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, a special welcome to our mothers this morning, our grandmothers, great-grandmothers. Greg got me thinking, do we have any great-great-grandmothers? That's a big one, isn't it? But how many great-grandmas do we have? Great-grandma. Ooh, one, two, what, three, four. Oh, wow, five. Pretty good. Wow, pretty good. We want to honor you on this special day. And as I've been thinking about Mother's Day, I was reminded that the Bible has lots and lots to say about the importance of mothers and motherhood. You know, from the very beginning of the Bible, from the book of Genesis all the way through the New Testament, the importance of biological and spiritual mothers cannot possibly be overstated. All of us here this morning, whether here or online, have been profoundly influenced by moms, grandmas, aunts, women who have taught us many invaluable, life-changing things in one way or another. And so I've been thinking about that, and you probably have too during this week, about all the different ways that that has impacted you and I in one way or another on different occasions. You know, some of your thoughts could be encouraging, some kind of funny, and sometimes moms can be really scary, right? Yeah. I remember, and I've shared this before, but I want to share it again, just to highlight the importance of mothers. You know, we need moms. Sometimes guys just don't get it, so let me share a story about a time when I didn't get it. Number of years ago, I was asked to chaperone my son Josh's kindergarten class to the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago for the day. Now, usually this was Deb's domain, but she wasn't feeling well, so I got to attend this blessed of all events. And when I arrived at the elementary school about 9 a.m. with Josh, instead of being brightly greeted by his teacher, I got this: "Where's Mrs. Smith?" And I informed Mrs. Frazier, the former wife of NBA great Walt Frazier, that Deb was suffering whiplash after being hit by a Chicago bus, and that I would be taking her place that day. And Mrs. Frazier, she tilted her head, as only an African-American woman can do, right? Looking over her glasses, she said, "Honey, your wife is good. I hope that you can keep up." And I felt deeply affirmed the rest of the day. And I might add, I did keep up, even though she gave me all the worst kids in the class that day. Now, at the end of the trip, I thought I was doing due diligence as a guy. But I put my head on the floor of the front of the bus, looking to see if there were any kids left. I was looking for the dangling legs, right? Ever do this? Is this just me? Unfortunately, it didn't occur to me that there might be a child laying asleep on the seat, and so the bus drove away with a little one on board. My point today is that children need mothers. There's just some things in life that guys simply don't get or understand. You know, after that happened, Mrs. Frazier and the moms, the child of the mother was not amused, let's just say that. Mrs. Frazier got a short suspension. And I was pretty much permanently banned from all school trips after that, and that is saying something since it was the south side of Chicago. You're done, You're done. There is a reason why God intended for a child to have a mother and a father since the dawn of time, since Adam and Eve walked the earth. The family is God's divine plan. So let's shoot straight. Let's be honest this morning. Where is probably the only place in our society today that supports the traditional family, that we even have to say traditional, right? It's the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, ideally, I mean, do we even have to say that today as well? The family will be made up of a Christian man and a Christian woman who are committed to raising children in a godly fashion and for whom the children will be exposed to the gospel and biblical truths from their infancy. Is that crazy to say? I don't think so. I don't think so. The good news is that parents don't have to do it alone. And listen up, Kelly and Grant. You don't have to do this thing alone. This is important, right? This is why God gives us grandparents and aunts and uncles, as well as an entire church family. I don't call this a church. I call it a family, really, right? You remember the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child? Man, it really does. Grandma, he's talking to you. This is awesome, right? Takes a village to raise a child. What other institution in society has the wealth and breadth of knowledge and experience to help raising the next generation of godly men and women other than the Church of Jesus Christ? Now, to be sure, all kinds of things can happen. It's not uncommon, actually, for one parent to be a follower of Jesus and the other not to be, right? That always makes it harder in the family unit. But again, this is where God's people, the church, can be so powerful. Now, this is not a new thing. This scenario has played out since the beginning. That's part of the point of the one verse. I was really struck by the Apostle Paul's young disciple, his protege, his spiritual son, Timothy, this week. 2 Timothy 1:5, right? Paul said this, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived with whom? His grandmother, Lois, and then his mother, Eunice, and now I'm persuaded that faith lives in you, Timothy. Isn't it interesting that nowhere does Paul mention Timothy's grandfather or particularly his father, right? So I dug around a little bit, see if I can find anything more about Timothy's family. And we have a verse, Acts 16:1. Good Dr. Luke says this, and we looked at this in adult ed a couple weeks ago. Paul came to Derbe and then Lystra in Asia Minor, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, and whose father was a Greek. Huh. So Timothy grew up with parents who, what we would, Paul would say in, I think, 1 Corinthians 7, he would say they were unequally yoked, right? The old word for that, spiritually speaking. Right? Timothy did not have a Christian father or grandfather, but God did provide for him powerful spiritual fathers, particularly the Apostle Paul. Paul was interesting in that he seems to be the only disciple who was not married, right? And yet he has spiritual children, and he calls Timothy his son. This gets me thinking about the power of women who don't have biological children, right? In the ancient world, that was a really hard thing. Now today in society, particularly Western society, you know, birth rates are plummeting. You know this, right? People are just not having children because they, kids are a lot of work. Or sometimes they can't have them physically, but I just read an article yesterday, Japan's birth rate is plummeting. China is right behind it, by the way. South Korea is devastated. They're just not having kids. And they say, well, it's the money, whatever. I mean, come on, parents. I mean, if you waited till you had kids and enough money and security, would you have ever had kids? I rest my case, Your Honor. Right? But anyway, that's not what this is about. Paul had spiritual children. I'm thinking of a dear woman I love so much, Miss Barbara Perkins, important part of my church in Chicago. She never married or had kids, but she poured her life into hundreds, maybe thousands of children over 70 years, right? I'm trying to imagine this scenario today. But I'll never forget when we first attended the church, of which later I had no idea I would be asked to pastor. When we moved to Chicago from New York, Zach was not quite a year old. He's about 11 months, and he was causing a fuss. Sound familiar, parents? You know, have you ever noticed spiritual warfare is often very intense right before church? You know what I'm talking about. You know, it's fine other days, and why can't I find my shoes? Or the girl, I want to wear my pretty shoes, or whatever. And I just sometimes stick my head out here, and you'll be good, and you're going to be in church. And I look out there, hi, how are you, pastor? It's like, I understand. I get it, right? When we first attended this church, he was kicking up a fuss, and he did not want to go to the church nursery, and Deb was tempted to keep him crying in the sanctuary. And Miss Barbara, she was old school. She'd have none of it. She said, give him to me. You both are teaching him bad manners. Imagine saying that to a young couple today. And you know what? Deb was like, whoa. I was like, she's right. We're teaching this kid bad manners. Give it to Miss Barbara, right? And we did, and she became a spiritual mother to both of our sons. Right? Teaching them the scriptures from their infancy. Sound like the verse? And she did that for hundreds and hundreds of children over 70 years. You know, God's word says something about this idea of spiritual motherhood. Isaiah 41. O woman, sing, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are your children than those who have a husband. How about that? Again, it's impossible to overstate the importance of mothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers in the Christian life. Because I can, and I'm just that kind of nerd, right? The Bible contains over 450 references to wives and over 325 references to mothers. Now, I've talked about this before, but it warrants another pass. If you study the lives of the kings of Israel and Judah, you will frequently notice that the mothers are mentioned. Almost always. We're clearly told that when the mothers were foreign born, yes, I'm going to pick on Lima because I can, they were inevitably taught from their infancy to worship false gods. That's how it worked. Now, if you're Christian like Lima, it's fine. Right? The whole thing started with great King Solomon himself. First Kings 11 said that, you know, isn't it ironic that Solomon was supposed to be the wisest man who ever lived? Right? But he loved many foreign women who worshiped false gods. Now, his father, King David, said this, right? You've got to obey carefully God's commands, but Solomon made the fatal mistake that he married the daughters of other kings in order to maintain treaty alliances and attempt to keep the peace. In fact, Solomon comes from Shlomo, Shalom, meaning the king of peace. Now, the irony is sometimes you got to kick doors down to keep the peace, right? But you better have the right discernment to know when to do that. Now, Solomon and most later kings produced children from these unions who would be raised in idolatry. And what would happen is this would raise children to create generational issues of spiritual unfaithfulness, right? Now, here's Solomon and the later kings began to worship Baal and Asherah, the storm god and the fertility goddess, huh? Worship the gods of Moloch and Chemosh, of Moab and the Ammonites. And did you know those, in times of distress, they actually burn their children to these false gods to try and get them do stuff? Uh-huh. Did Solomon do that? We don't know exactly, but I wonder. My whole point in mentioning all this is we cannot underestimate the importance of godly mothers and grandmothers in raising the next generation, such as Timothy's godly mother Eunice and his godly grandmother Lois, 2 Timothy 1:5. Now we know that Timothy's father was an unbelieving Greek, and therefore the family was at spiritual odds, and this is tricky. Right, there are many churches that are filled with, it's typically the mother who's the believer, sometimes the father, but usually the mother is coming alone, bringing those kids. God bless them. Get behind them, encourage them. This is this happens, right? Kind of like the time when a little girl asked her mother, "Mommy, where did the human race come from?" Good question. Mother answered with the wisdom of the Bible. God's word said, she said this, "God made Adam and Eve and they had children, so all mankind was made." 2 days later, the little girl asked the same question of her unbelieving father, who replied, "Well, many years ago, there were monkeys and apes, and from that, the human race evolved." And this poor little girl was so confused. She went back to her mama and asked the honest question, "Mommy, how is it possible that you told me that the human race was created by God, but Daddy said we were evolved from monkeys and baboons?" Her mother was very kind, Christian, in her reply. She said, "It's very simple, dear. I told you about my side of the family, and Daddy told you about his side of the family." Yeah. I don't know about you, but I love our daily bread devotionals. Get you one, they're back there. If you don't have a time with Jesus, what a great way to start doing that on a daily basis. And what I've noticed over the years is all of these different writers have their own personalities and their own walk with Jesus, and some of them it's like, it really pops out, and certain authors, I'm like, oh good, this one's from Elisa Morgan. I like her devotionals. And she shared her joy at being a grandma, saying this, and I quote, "Hand in hand, my grandson and I skipped across the parking lot to find a special back-to-school outfit. A preschooler now, he was excited about everything." If you watch little kids, they're excited. I have two puppies, they're excited about everything. It's wearing me out and I'm going gray, but they're excited, you know. "And I was determined to ignite his happiness into joy." Can you ignite someone's happiness into joy? "I had just seen a coffee mug," Elisa said, "that said this, 'Grandmas are the moms with lots of frosting.'" I was like, let me park here and think about this as a dude for a few minutes. "Grandmas are moms with lots of frosting." She said, "Frosting equals fun, glitter, and joy." Huh. "That's my job as a grandma. That's my description, right? That and more. My job as a grandmother included the frosting moment of a back-to-school outfit. But even more, like Timothy's grandma, Lois, I'm called to the frosting moments when I share my faith. Bowing our heads over chicken nuggets." You better pray over those things. I don't know if they're chicken, but pray. "Bowing our heads over chicken nuggets, noticing angelic cloud formations in the sky as God's works of art, chirping along a song about Jesus on the radio. Let's be wooed by examples of moms and grandmothers like Eunice and Lois. Let our faith become the frosting in life so others will want what we have." Amen. Oh, wow. Well, saying to my mom, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I'm glad I had a mother who read Bible stories to me, taught me my first prayers, sent me to Sunday school as a boy, and still prays for me today." Well, we don't want the kid, you know, how can you make the kids go to church? You make them go to school. Why wouldn't you make them go to church? Well, as if Sunday school was a, you know, cruel and unusual punishment. Sometimes it felt that way. I remember our first church, I mean, it was like every other Sunday, I'd be up in the second floor and I'd always look out the window and there's my brother running down the street in Ann Arbor, Michigan, down 7th Street, and I'd have to go and catch him before he got to the intersection. That's just part of it sometimes. It's okay, right? It is true. I'm grateful for Mom who shared that. I'm grateful for a Southern grandmother who told me about Jesus and led me to faith in Christ. I'm glad to have a wife who loves Jesus and who's currently visiting her youngest son for Mother's Day. I love that. I bless that. That's awesome. And she continues to pour into the children up here. You know, our kids are grown and gone and all that kind of stuff, but there's the priority. sounds okay. I think Lexi's okay. I'm sure she's fine. Right? But increasingly in our society, it's more and more common. We're mobile, and so more and more kids move away, right? Many of you have experienced this. For jobs, unable to see their mothers and grandmothers as much as they would like, let alone on Mother's Day. Kind of like the time. Yeah, when John once phoned his mother from out of state one Mother's Day, he hadn't talked to her in some time. And he said, "How have you been, Mom?" And then he inquired, and the mother said, "I'm very, very weak." And just like a man, he stupidly walked straight into the ambush. And he said, "Well, why are you so weak, Mom?" And to which his mother replied, "Because I haven't eaten in 23 days. "That's terrible," the son said. "Why haven't you eaten in 23 days? To which his mother snapped the trap shut. She said, "Because I didn't want my mouth to be filled with food, just in case you called me to see how I was doing." Sound familiar? You deserved it, dude. And so, especially to the guys here this morning, guys, if you are still fortunate to have your mothers and grandmothers alive, this is your friendly pastoral reminder to call them this afternoon, tell them how much you love and appreciate them. And for the rest of others, remember and give thanks to God for mothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers of sound Christian faith as Timothy had, as well as to honor the mothers and of our children for all that they have done and all they continue to do in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for moms. We thank you for grandmothers, great-grandmothers, spiritual moms in the faith, without which we would not only be here, but boy, we would be in big trouble. And Lord, so help us to honor them today in some small way. We thank you for them. We praise you for them. And we're better because of them. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this special day, and we praise you in Jesus' name, saying, amen.